The Last Word with Matt Cooper on Today FM.
Jackie Terrell is with us. He has written his autobiography, The Warrior's Code. And Jackie, you know, I was reading it and I was thinking to myself, if you'd been born in Dublin, would you have been hurler at all, or would you have been into mixed martial arts?
I don't think it's that bad, Matt, no.
It's controlled violence a lot of the time, isn't it? But
that is hurling. What's hurling? It's a cross between hockey and MMA, isn't it, really? But I don't know what I'd be if I was in Dublin. I mightn't be a hurler, I mightn't be doing nothing at all, you know. But, you know, I was lucky. I was born in Kilkenny and had a great career. I was very lucky.
You did indeed, had a fantastic career. But it's the sort of the fury and the intensity comes across throughout the book. And every match seemed to be like going to war when it was championship for Kilkenny, in your eyes anyway, was it?
Yeah, well, looking back at it, Matt, we were, you know, if you're All-Ireland champions, and Galway will experience this next year, every day you go out, you're up there on a pedestal. It was like Man United when they're going great. It was an All-Ireland final. So we had to be ready for that, and we had to brace that. And people wrote about our physicality and things like that. So we had to be ready for every time, whether it was a league match, a Walsh Cup championship, we had to...
Hang on, it wasn't ready. It was imposing it. This is the thing that comes across in the book. It wasn't a question of just winning a game, scoring more goals and points. It seemed to be to physically intimidate, beat up the opposition, almost figuratively, so that the next day you could do exactly the same to them.
Oh, well, I wouldn't say like we had some of the best hurling, and we let our hurling do the talking, like, and... You know, 2008 All-Ireland was probably one of our most complete performances.
It was brilliant.
Yeah, you know, and you see the technical side of it, the skill in that, but we mixed it with the physicality, absolutely. And it was, looking back at it, was, you know, it was you or him, or it was that team or your team, whoever was physically going to impose themselves and get a foothold in the game, and the hurling would kick in then. And that was kind of our attitude. And we trained like that, and to be ready for these big days in Croke Park.
Yeah, but did you regard yourself as technically a very good hurler? Because all the way coming through the book, it's the sort of the warrior element does very much predominate.
Yeah, no, I don't, because I wasn't the best of hurlers. I wasn't technically gifted like some guys, and I had to work very hard to get my skill set to a certain level where I could survive. So, you know, you play the hand that you're dealt, and, you know, I was physically in good shape, and you try to impose that, you try to do whatever you can to get a foothold, because you're coming up against some of the best hurlers in the country and guys that were way more technically gifted than me. You know, and that's what it was. Sometimes it was just about surviving in games and just hanging in by your fingertips, because you're coming against Owen Kelly and the likes of these guys, super hurlers.
Yeah, but you imposed yourself. I mean, that seems to me the key thing for you is the way you went out on the pitch, you were just going to be dominant.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. Yeah, try to dominate your man and do what you can for your team. And playing cornerback is a very specialised position. You're more than likely going to be marking their key man. So if you can get on top of him and dominate him and take him out of the game and try to hold him scoreless, well, then you give your team a great chance of winning and be successful. And that's the way I kind of seen my role. Wasn't to be scoring goals or points or setting up scores. I was there as a defender, you know, and to keep the scores down.
But you were a bit of a messer as a young fella as well. And there's an incredible story in the book from your time back in Cork when you were on the drink and stole a car.
Yeah, it was one of those, you know, crazy moments when I was in college, and you know, me and another guy, we seen a taxi and we both jumped in and we drove down the street. But it's one of those ones.
You were pissed, clearly, at this stage.
Yeah, we had a few drinks, yeah, and like, it's one of those things, as soon as it happens, you sober up straight away, and we stopped the car and we got out of it there. And then it's one of those things that I regret. You know, you learn as you go on in life. Life is about, you know, learning, and I definitely learned a big statement that
day. You were lucky the taxi driver didn't press charges. He took compensation from you. But you were, as you said at the time, terrified Brian Cody found out, because if Brian Cody found out, that was you finished as an intercounty hurler.
Without a doubt, Matt, and it was stupidity of the highest order on my behalf, because I dreamed of playing for Kilkenny and I loved being pulling on that black and amber jersey, and I seen this could be all taken away from me after all my hard work and things like that. So it was lucky enough there was only the one of them, like, because I learned a lesson that day, and I said to myself, never put myself in a situation like that again.
Did Brian Cody ever find out subsequently about it?
Probably when he reads my book now, he'll find out about it, all right. No, he never brought it up with me anyway, so I imagine he never know until the actual book is...
What do you think Brian Cody will make of your depiction of him in the book?
I think Brian comes over it very well. Detailing.
He's a hard man, isn't he?
Ah, he's hard, but he's very fair, Matt. And like,
is he? Because all the players who were left out over the years, who were sort of like summarily dismissed. I mean, if you go back before your time, I suppose, even like DJ Carey, Charlie Carter, in your time, Chaffetz Patrick, even the way that you were left on the bench... a couple of years ago in Croke Park when you could have been brought on to save Kilkenny against Tipperary as they were making hay in the full back line.
Well, if you look at it, his record speaks for himself, Matt. Like, he's the most successful GAA manager ever. Look at his record. He's won, I don't know, many All-Irelands in his time. And what, so I was left on the bench for a match? In the grand scheme of things, like, you know, I've come and walk away with 9 All-Ireland medals. Lads have been successful beyond their dreams. Lads have won Hurlers of the Year. He's manufactured probably one of the best teams ever. So we've a lot to be thankful for, and Brian is central to all that. You know, and he has his management style and he sticks by it, and he has his core values, and, you know, hard work, honesty, and being all the forefront of it, like any kind of real great leader. You know, and he facilitated a great team. I'm so thankful he gave me my opportunity when really, you know, people question it, and rightly so. I've been coming in after a poor minor and under 21 campaign, but he gave me my chance, and, you know, I got confidence from that.
Yeah, how real was that? I was taken by that very much in the book, that sort of you were almost downplaying yourself in your early career, minor and under 21, that you never felt you were good enough, and yet you kept getting picked for the next team or being made captain or whatever. Is that a trait in a lot of players, that they just lack a self-belief, or a sort of, it's not a false modesty, but actually that they don't actually realise how well they're going?
Yeah, I think it's a natural thing with GAA players, and particularly when people talk about, I always think of the bad days nearly, you know, and the games we lost and the games we played poorly, and that's not right, really. You should be thinking of the great days and the celebrations. And I was very down and hard on myself, and I let the minor and the under 21 days get to me. And I think at that age, between 17 and 21, you know, you're very, very, it's a critical stage, and I think your temperament and your mental strength is your mentality is very weak at that time. And that was just a bad time for me as regards hurling and my career.
How much that was even down to being away from home, living down in Cork at college, and a little bit on the piss half the time.
Oh, well, I wasn't on the piss half the time.
It seems that way from the book.
Ah, yeah, well, look, you don't play for Kilkenny, you don't play for club hurling, you don't play under 21 if you're on the beer all the time. But, like, the game, that's 2002, 2003, that's 15 years ago. The game has
changed so much.
Oh, massively amount, Matt. Like, that wouldn't happen now. But, you know, that probably being away from home was probably, you know, it was probably had a role in that, you know, mentality of being mentally weak and you know, dealing with these doubts and things like that, because there's a lot going on in your life at that age.
So what changed for you? What made you mature and then turn into the hurler that you did become?
A couple of things. Well, obviously, growing older and these experiences, and like the taxi thing, learning every day.
That must have been, how much did that sit with you for afterwards? I mean, for how long did you sort of... that could have been the most stupid thing that could ruin my life.
Yeah, a couple of months it did, Matt. You know, and even when it was put to bed, I was beating myself up going, like, God, Jackie, all you've worked for, and, you know, you're on the Kilkenny panel now, and this is all you've ever wanted. And I suppose those 2 or 3 months were tough, but I suppose I really learned my lesson from it. What changed? Brian Cody bringing me in. That gave me confidence. I was captain of the under-21 team. I won that. Then I started to break into the team a small bit. And all these little things were turning things for me, but I still had self-doubt and confidence issues. Then I started winning a few All-Irelands and All-Stars. And then also, I'm documenting in the book, I met a guy, brother Damien Brennan, Christian brother in Kilkenny, very unassuming guy. And we just struck it off, and, you know, we were able to talk things over. And, you know, he started to kind of take the power back, where I was worrying about what people would think and how I played, and, you know, beat myself over. Like, if I had a bad game, it could sit with me for a week or 10 days. Whereas with him, I started to let go of all those things, and I started to get a little bit confident. And I didn't really know. We'd meet up for regular chats and things like that. I didn't really know what was going on. I knew, but I felt better every time I left him, and my performance reflected that. And I just continued that journey on with him. And before him, then I won an All-Star, which I never thought dreamed possible. Then I scored a pint in an All-Ireland, and I was like, I don't really know what's happening here, but I'm loving it, and I'm just going to keep continuing with it. But what it was he was just giving me confidence, and I was letting go of those doubts and fears.
But I know you were part of a brilliant team, and when you're winning regularly, perhaps it makes it a little bit easier, but there are so many All-Ireland champions that sort of fall away, they can't bring it around the next year. How did you keep going, that you have 9 All-Ireland medals? What motivated you, or how did you manage to keep that hunger, which clearly was there with you all the time, the sort of the savage hunger that you went out to games on?
Yeah, there's a couple of things, Matt. I suppose the first thing being, we were a very ambitious group of lads. We were very lucky. We came all together at the one time, the likes of Henry, DJ, Tommy, JJ, Brian Cody being driving all that and keeping us on our toes. But the panel was so competitive. Like, we won a few under-21s, and there were some guys that couldn't even get on the panel, and were banging down the door trying to get in, and the subs were trying to get on the team, and you're on the team trying to hold onto your position. So that whole environment, that culture that was created, was highly competitive. And guys... guys literally, you know, you'd win one match, you'd be on to the next one. There was never any looking back. And, you know, if Brian got any sense of guys getting carried away with themselves or cockiness or anything like that, your chance could be gone. And that was the way it was. It was always about the next game. If you won a game, it was on to the next game.
Yeah, just when you said about players coming on, I mean, you have some great stories in the book as well about players. I mean, there was one lad that you had, I think it was 2011, John Mulhall, was it?
Yeah.
And he got bombed off the panel pretty quickly for sort of incurring Brian Cody's displeasure.
Yeah, well, it's hard. John Mulhall has said that he feels that it's not down to the song or anything like that, that his form had dipped in the following league. I think he got there. They probably pulled it together with the fact that Brian had commented after John's song that it could be his last performance. But you know, that was kind of the culture in Kilkenny. You know, we keep things nice and simple. No one really gets carried away with themselves.
Okay, and then it was also the story, I mean, as well, player standing up, Owen Guinan gets called on to the squad in 2010. Tell that story, because that was fascinating.
Yeah, he was called on in 2010, and we still don't really know the answers of it. And we went down and we trained in Mooncoin, and we did a real tough physical session on a Friday, and then we found out afterwards that Owen had been dropped off the panel. And I think one of the lads asked him and said that he hadn't done that. We just wondered, did he do something in training that he got dropped? Why training and that? But that was just Brian's.
You must be in a constant state of anxiety when you're on a Kilkenny squad when you're about to get bombed off it.
It wasn't anxiety, but that was the thing. Like, you constantly were on edge. You were constantly on your toes. It's the next performance. I need to keep you. Can't slacken off at all, because, you know, if you'll just be dropped or off the team or the panel, and there'll be a next guy in. And we've seen it in the clubs. The guys were as good on playing in clubs that weren't in the panel, and it could easily have been brought in.
Your rivalry with Tipperary really comes out as well. You're not very forgiving of some of their players from around the 2010 era when they beat you in 2010. Mm. But by God, when you came back, you're fairly rough in some of the things you made some of the players.
Oh, well, look, I suppose people are always going to look at the negative connotation and things like that. And the thing I looked at, like, Tipperary in 09 almost beat us in an All-Ireland. They came back in 10 and rightly beat us on it. And they won the under-21 shortly afterwards and looked like they were going to take over Hurland did. Really great young lads. And they never did, and they never won All-Ireland until last year.
Last year.
Yeah, 6 years. So I often wondered, like, why is that? Why is that inconsistencies? But, like...
Well, you figure it's mental weakness is what you put your finger on.
Yeah, absolutely. But on the flip side, that they had some huge leaders. They had some guys that, you know, I call Owen Kelly a genius in the book. Paul Curran, a massive leader. You know, Pádraig Maher, hugely physical player. Bonner Maher, I could never get the better of him either. Like, so they had.
But your respect for players is an awful lot down to their physicality, isn't it?
Oh, I wouldn't say that now. I look at Lark Harbert, which I really expect, and you can see Lara probably was the least physical player you'll ever come across. Noel McGrath, not very physical.
But you would have been willing to sort of maybe go to the boundaries of what was legal, wouldn't you, at times? I mean, we've had an awful lot recently now about pulling helmets and stuff like that, and you were known to get your fingers into a helmet once or twice, were you?
Yeah, well, once, I think it happened once with Lara, and obviously it's usually a high-profile incident now. And Matt...
How did the cameras not catch that?
I don't know, actually. It's they mustn't be using as much cameras now. But it was... I used to play on the edge, and sometimes I went over the edge, and, you know, like, we all make mistakes, and... You know, I regret some of the things, the Seamus Canlan thing, which I said in the book in 09. But I had to play on the edge. I technically probably wasn't good enough to out-hurl guys, and I had to try use my physicality or whatever like that. And that was the way it was.
How long will you play club hurling for, do you reckon?
Well, I hope to play maybe... I'm playing this year, maybe another 2 years after that match. I want to give the club a really great lash, because it's a great club and I'm so proud of it. What they've given me, you know, I've got a chance to play Kilkenny because of them. They gave me the captaincy in 2009, so I'm forever indebted for
them. But are you prepared now? Obviously, you step back from intercounty, so you're getting used to not running out in Croke Park on those big days. Mm. But what are you going to do? I mean, you've had, this has been such a major part of your life. You've got such a major buzz out of it. What's going to replace it?
Yeah, well, I suppose this year I've been lucky enough. I'm a pundit with RTE, and I do a column in the Irish Times as well. And
it's a great column.
Yeah, cheers. Thanks very much. And obviously the book project then as well. So the first year has, you know, it's been challenging, because obviously you're not in Croke Park and you're not striving to play for Kilkenny anymore. So that has helped integrate a lot, you know, and getting married later on in the year. And the club is always there, and I want to get back involved with the club. Maybe, you know, when I do retire, as regards coaching or helping out or whatever the case may be. So, you know, it's just going to be different. It's a different part of the journey now, and I'm just going to immerse myself in that.
It's a great read. Jackie Tyrrell, thank you very much for taking the time to join us here on The Last Word Today FM today.
Great stuff. Thanks very much, Matt.
And if you're in Kilkenny tomorrow and you want a signed copy of Jackie's book, he will be doing so at 10 a.m. in the morning in the book centre.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper. on Today FM.